You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special for our listeners?
Yeah, we sure do. We try to keep that for new subscribers only, and that's at my website, VR Trader, Victor Robert, VRTrader.com, which stands for that volume reversal indicator. We went into some detail last week about. So you go to the order page for any one or more newsletters, and you enter the promo code 2022 half off. Just as it sounds, 2022 half off. You get 50% off of any of the newsletters, but only for new subscribers. And I always do, and sometimes you remind me to make that disclaimer about I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. Used to do that in the past, used to be in the brokerage business, used to run a little hedge fund. That's in the history, and I'm just a newsletter writer, market and political commentator right now, apparently. That's sort of my role in life.
What would you say is happening on the stock markets right now? Is this a permanent rally, or could this come to a stop at any moment?
You know, when something is as high as and extended as it is, and everybody is overly optimistic, you know, usually it's a sign that you got to be looking, you know, the other direction. So my thought was, as you approach the new year, maybe before, but more likely after, you know, taxes can be deferred if you take profits after January 1, and money managers and individuals are more than aware of that. But individuals might say, gee, you know, we had such a big run-up, and even some money managers might say, we had such a big run-up, maybe we should lock in the profits here because we had such a big run in the big indexes and makes our fourth quarter and annual report look really good, and maybe we should be lightening up here and just, you know, sell a bunch of stuff so at least we can say year-end, quarter-end, we're smart people, and or we got lucky and we did well. So, you know, I don't want to say I'm bearish, but I am, you know, concerned about the extended nature of the market, the fact that come the first quarter next year, some cycle work that I do suggest the market could have in a correction. And I'm also of the belief that we are in a recession, and it'll probably become more evident next year. Maybe it'll take to the end of the first quarter or second quarter till people realize it. But, you know, with Trump coming in, you know, many of the employment numbers that the government fictitiously reports regularly, many of these jobs were government jobs. A lot of government people are going to be fired. Many are going to quit. And that's going to, you know, change a lot with regard to the employment numbers and people's ability to spend money. And that could, you know, affect the economy because there's so many government employees out there, many of which don't even come to work. I'm told work remotely and on, you know, government payroll. So, you know, that among other reasons, you know, suggests that, you know, you might see some setback. But, you know, I'm a trader, you know, like we were short United Healthcare today, for example, because I don't care for the healthcare stocks, particularly what happened, you know, with the CEO getting murdered, and we can get into more of that later. And with RFK coming in, you know, supervising the health industry, you know, drug companies are a big problem. Insurance companies are a big problem. And, you know, that could pressure on the market. In fact, one of the down days we had just the last couple, 3 days, when the market sold off, a good part of the sell-off was attributed to United Healthcare, which is a big component of the Dow Industrial Average, and that weighed on the entire index. So, you know, there's always sort of surprises out there. So I'm not rushing to buy the market into the end of the year. I know Santa Claus is probably tying up the reindeer right now. We're tying them onto his sled, and everybody's all excited, and maybe we could get another try here. But we'll also, the street, not me, but the street's holding its breath for December 18th because the Fed meeting is, you know, coming out, and most expectations are they're going to lower a quarter point. And, you know, frankly, in my view of the recession coming, and I don't know if they're smart enough to realize it is coming because they're pretty dumb in what they do, but, you know, maybe they'll lower it in anticipation of future problems, which I think are evident but may not be evident to them. Now, they don't lower it. You know, that could create some selling because everybody's expectations are really high that, oh, gee, they're going to lower a quarter point. But, you know, the economic numbers that are being reported, and again, I don't believe any of them because they're government-generated. The industrial numbers that are put out by the private industry, like the PPI and so forth, those have been showing negative reports for several months in terms of industrial production. So, you know, the real numbers say we're in a recession. The phony numbers say we're doing great. And I don't know what the Fed's going to do because they so mismanaged things, you know, for decades and decades, and even in recent, you know, recent years under the tutelage of Jay Powell. If he's not fired, he may have to quit, even though he's saying he won't. But, you know, that's only part of the problem. You know, government spending and other issues really have a lot to do with stuff. So, and the complete other side of this, you know, I'm euphoric about Donald Trump being in. I mean, there's so many things I hope he can change. You know, everything, you know, from economic issues to socio issues, like the woke issue and all that other kind of crazy stuff that's out there. You know, so that could be a big boon to America, you know, in the, you know, next 2 to 4 years or longer, if he can pull off some of the promises that he has made. So in that sense, I'm an optimist. But, you know, even under Ronald Reagan, well, you know, I guess the best Republican president the U.S. had prior to this, you know, back in 1987, of course, we had the big stock market crash when he was president. So even though he did a lot of good things and it took him a couple of years to get things turned around in Washington, the market still had a crash. And unfortunately, a lot of this had to do with Alan Greenspan and the Fed and other variables that were beyond his control. So things beyond Donald Trump's control could unfold and the market could have a setback, you know, for reasons unrelated to his tax cuts and other, you know, social economic programs. So you got to be on the watch here. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be heavily in the market here. Honestly, I think it's a good time to put your money, you know, in treasury bills and, you know, take your profits and watch out the new year and see how things play out. Now, that said, there are trades every day, you know, that we do. There's an exciting stock that we've been trading. I guess it's more of an ETF that owns private shares in Elon Musk's SpaceX. You don't know the symbol, it's in my newsletter, so I'd be happy to tell you once you subscribe, it's there. Doing well that, you know, people thinking that once SpaceX goes public, these inside shares will benefit this company and be well rewarded. And the way Tesla, which by the way exploded to new all-time highs the last 2 days, I believe reaching about $430 a share. A lot of confidence in Elon and what he's doing. He's been really right about a lot of things. He's a living Edison of our time, and his judgment on Donald Trump was spot on, and and on and on. So things related to SpaceX or to Starlink or to Tesla are all areas that you got to watch as opportunities. So as I mentioned, you know, there's always trades out there. There's always special situations. We watch a lot of markets, a lot of individual stocks. As a result, you know, I'm not too worried, you know, where the market is up for Santa Claus or down after the first of the year. We'll find something. There's always going to be an opportunity. And obviously, we can always do inverse ETFs and play the short side.
Now, you said we were talking before we went to air, and it was about the insurance industry and the assassination of the boss of United Insurance, or United Healthcare, I should say. A lot of resentment about insurance in the U.S.?
Apparently so, and that was manifested with that murder. And it's funny because a lot of the political left, you know, I guess that's the Democrats here in the U.S., you know, are sort of sympathizing with the murder. I mean, it's like he's become sort of a folk hero, you know, of sorts, because, well, first, he's an attractive young man and so forth, but, you know, so many people are so disenchanted with insurance companies, and I've had plenty of experience personally myself. I don't want to get into all the details, claims not being paid, not being able to reinsure certain properties for various reasons, rates going like crazy. I personally have switched out. I used to be with United Healthcare. I actually switched out of it because they're really extraordinarily high compared to other companies. but you know, a lot of other insurance companies are suffering as well. So there's a real problem, you know, with the insurance industry, and as there is with the drug and pharmaceutical industry. You know, a lot of greed, mismanagement, and the denial of a lot of claims has really aggravated the populace. And again, as I mentioned a moment ago, there seemed to be rallying around this guy condoning the murder of this CEO because it's a way of, demonstrating your frustration against, your claims and your life and your dealings with the insurance industry. So it's a tough call here. I mean, there's going to be changes, obviously, particularly when Trump gets in and his new executives that he puts in charge of various divisions of the country are able to look into the insurance industry. There's going to be, sort of a washout here. And, it's a tragedy for the family, for this man to have been murdered. But, it may lead to positive things with regard to, changes in the industry and a close scrutiny of what these companies are really doing and not doing. So, as a trader, the stocks appear to be in downtrends and seem to be shortable here. United Healthcare has already had a big drop, but, there's going to be opportunities there as these companies have to pull in the reins and start paying out more claims, and that's going to hurt their bottom line. And, these companies have been riding a high horse for a long time, and that horse may have thrown them.
Also, you're mentioning something about the guy who was shot perhaps being investigated for insider trading?
Yeah, we talked about this off air. I was doing some research here, and apparently, he's being, he was going to be charged or was already being charged. I have to pull out the full story for insider trading in United Healthcare stock and sold, some big number, $80 or $100 million of stock. And he was sort of playing the market, according to the accusations in the article, that he was, not such a straightforward, CEO, And if he had not been shot, he would have had to deal with, with potential insider trading claims and so forth. So, he may have been a bad guy for a different reason. It wasn't, the reason he was shot or whether, obviously you don't want to be shot for insider trading. But, there were the whole other story behind that, and that might be an example of the uneven hand, the way the company had been run. In fact, the CEO was trading supposedly, and taking advantage of insider news, and maybe the way he managed the company that all filtered down to the way claims are being paid or not paid. So bad guy at the top makes a lot of changes both in the political world, as we've seen both here in the U.S. and Canada, and also in individual companies like this.
What's going on with Bitcoin? Are you into that?
Well, it actually hit a new high intraday today. I think it was 102,180 or something. Then it sold off back down to 98,000 to 99,000. There's this analyst on Wall Street, it's always on CNBC, and his name is Tom Lee. He's always quoted. He's been like a regular on the CNBC network, and he came on about, I guess, a week or 10 days back saying that he's predicting, and I'm not predicting this, but, anything is possible, that he would see Bitcoin at $250,000 sometime in 2025. And so that got everybody excited. As I mentioned last week when we were talking about it, Jim, it's extended technically. I mean, I like to buy pullbacks, and the pullback number on this one, unfortunately, is way down there. It's the breakout point of 73,000 that we had talked about in recent months, that for Bitcoin to explode or, rally to my next target of 88,000, we could see that 73,000 come out, which it did. And obviously, we exceeded it and running up as high as 102 today and then selling off. I mean, I think it needs to go back to 73 myself, whether we'll do it now or go to 125 first and then pull back. But, you have to decide. This is like owning a gold coin, Are you in this for the big picture? And many have. And they've been buying it since it was, a few hundred dollars a coin and riding the ups and downs, for the last 12 years, which have been substantial, as you know. So I trade it. We bought it a couple of days ago on a pullback, sold it, I think, yesterday morning. I think yesterday we sold it. And then we're just sort of watching it here. And that's just a trading comment. But if you like like I mentioned, with gold, and you're just a long-term holder, and you believe Bitcoin is going to, you know, continue to advance, and this analyst is correct, and Donald Trump is supportive of the crypto world, and the world seems to have acknowledged it in a big way, you just, you know, hold on to it, and, you know, you make it a long-term play. It's not like a coin you could stick in the vault. You got to stick it in a wallet, electronic wallet, to protect it, but some people just hold it at the various platforms that execute for you, the most notable of which is Coinbase, and there's another one called Uphold out in Britain that is also very popular. You can hold it there or transfer it out to a secure wallet so that somebody doesn't hack your account and steal it. But, you know, my overall feeling is bullish. It has been in an uptrend. Psychology has changed, and you've got that ETF that Larry Fink created at BlackRock last year, and it's been momentum for the market. But as a trader, I want to buy it under the market, so I'm sort of watching here and waiting. I hope it's the right call. We'll see.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovitz right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovitz. Mark, anything happening with gold?
Yeah, it's starting to show a little life. You know, most of our portfolio that we write about in the newsletter is gold-related. You know, I personally think you saw the correction in it. I think, you know, we'd have to really break some big support levels for me to get bearish on it. But cycles are up here into the first quarter. I think we're headed to about 3,000, then 3,700 down the road. And, you know, seasonally it's there. It looks like it turned up here. We had a little pullback today. We had a big up day for previous two sessions. And, you know, we're in there. You know, I think uncertainty with the Fed, uncertainty with the first quarter of next year, all kinds of geopolitical issues. You know, it just on the charts, it just looks to me like we had a nice, you know, 10% correction in, you know, gold. We got over 2,800 and sold down to just under around 2,600. And, you know, there's always a case that it could have more of a correction. But even Trump is supportive of gold. He's a gold bug at a certain level. So, I think, you know, we're in there. I like it.
On the geocosmic front, New Jersey plagued by UFOs. What's the story there?
Boy, that got my attention. You know, people who have been following me for the last 2 years know that I'm a big follower of the UFO phenomenon, and I've been for decades. So, and there's a lot of personal and reasons for that, and we've discussed those in the past. But, yep, nobody's saying anything, and that's very suspicious. I mean, there's been whole articles about other events like this occurring in other parts of the country, even over some military bases just recently. It's not being talked about much in the press, but New Jersey is just the most current example. And, you know, the fact is silence is a big, big, big question mark. You know, if it was just some simple drones flying around, you know, it was a prank or government exercise of some kind, they probably would have come out and just said it. The fact is silence. You know, some accusations are being made that it's a conspiracy or a plan from Iran, and Iran ships or craft are offshore, and they're sending these things over. But it's too hard for them to say it's extraterrestrial or that it's a secret device that they call them UAPs, unidentified anomalous phenomenon, because they really don't have a description for it. So, anyway, that's my UFO hunter barking.
Oh, the dogs are tracking him down.
Yeah, he's probably one over my house right now. But, yeah, it's definitely something suspicious. I mean, that weather balloon we saw, you know, last couple of years was sort of dismissed. And, of course, they said it was Chinese. And the government has been covering up the UAP, UFO phenomenon, since Roswell in 1947. And if you're a student of the subject, as I am, there's been sightings for thousands of years that discussed in both primitive civilizations and even the medieval Europe. There were paintings and sketches of UFOs in the sky, and witnesses. There's a very famous one of Munich, Germany, going back, I think, into the 1600s, where all these craft were flying over. It was documented. It's in the press from that time frame. So anyway, I don't know what's going on in New Jersey, and nobody wants to tell us what really happened in Roswell, though we all pretty much know that it was an extraterrestrial craft of some kind, since apparently alien bodies were pulled out of it, and nobody wants to talk about it. One of my good friends produced a film on Roswell back in the 1990s, and some conversations with him about his interviews with people in that part of the world and what really happened at the time is a real eye-opening experience, and you got to watch the movie because it's really a tragedy that we have this. It's like discovering the new world. Of course, we find out now that the Vikings and everything came over way before Christopher Columbus and so forth. So that was sort of a sham on a certain level that Vikings were in Greenland and North America, centuries before Columbus supposedly came this way. But it's like saying we discovered the new world, but nobody's telling us about it, and they're keeping it a secret. And that's the role of the government. And it's not just our government, though Argentina, I believe, is more open to disclosing stuff. And I think in France, they're more open to disclosing stuff than our government here. And, we had, the former Canadian minister.
Paul Hellyer.
Paul Hellyer, yes. I was going to say Paul, and his last name. He clearly stated that the UFO phenomenon was real, and he all kinds of television interviews. You can pull up Paul Hellyer on the internet and just watch some of his interviews about what's going on supposedly in that whole subject area. So the government doesn't want to talk about it, Jim. It diminishes their authority. They know stuff they don't want to tell us, and whether New Jersey and these other sightings that claim are drones are real or not, it's sort of irrelevant to the big picture situation here. So government cover-up of technology seems to be their goal. And unfortunately, when and if we find out, it may be too late for all of us, So let's see what happens.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us. Hopefully the UFOs don't get us.
Honestly, I'd be happy if one landed in my backyard and I could have a personal experience. So I'd be looking forward to it, believe me. But thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.